Good morning. Today we follow the order of service printed out on your bulletin. Our opening hymn is hymn 733, O God, our help in ages past. I ask you to please stand. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, hear your word, and offer up to you our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
We read together Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humble himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing our next hymn. Be hymn number 714, Who Trust in God, a Strong Abode.
While you strength will never fail us. Your rod and staff will keep us safe and guide our steps wherever our shades of
I ask you to please rise for the reading of Holy Scripture. We continue reading in St. John's Gospel in chapter 4, today beginning at verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did, when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You may be seated. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we again pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing on the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might take your word as truth even when we can't see it with our eyes, that we might receive the blessings which you have promised. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. I might point out to you again the purpose of St. John's Gospel. He tells us in chapter 20 at verse 30 and 31, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so John's Gospel was written, giving us the teaching as well as the miracles and works of Jesus, so that we would believe that he is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing we would have life through his name. And certainly today's account of the nobleman fits right together with that purpose. John writes this so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that we might see his divine power as the Son of God, and that believing we would have life through his name. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes I kind of like to take apart words to better understand what they mean. And if you look at this passage, substance means to stand, the stance, and sub means under. So you're standing under, and it is the evidence, which it means to see what you can't really see. And the Bible indeed tells us as Christians that we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we stand under the promises of God's word. He promises us blessings, which we don't see yet, but we believe, and through faith, we also receive, and one day we will see the fulfillment of those promises. So, for example, God promises to all of us who trust in Jesus and his atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, God promises us his pardon and forgiveness. We just confessed our sins. We just heard again God's promise repeated to you of forgiveness. Can you see that forgiveness? Does God part the clouds of heaven and speak in an audible voice for us to hear, "I forgive you all your sins"? And the answer is no. We have the word of the gospel, which tells us that when we trust in Jesus and his blood shed for us on the cross, that God is merciful, that he deals with us in mercy instead of wrath, and that he forgives all our sins because Jesus paid the price by suffering and dying on the cross. When we are sick and we face our mortality, we realize that we may die. We as believers have the promises of God's word that death for us is not the end, but that to die is to go and to be with our Lord Jesus, that God has prepared for us a spiritual body so that when we take off this tent, as Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians, that he has created for us a new heavenly body made to live forever, that he will change this mortal body into an immortal body made to live forever with the Lord without sin. So when we face sickness and the possibility, do we see Jesus sitting on his throne? Do we see his angels coming and going, coming down to carry us home? Now, some people may have actually seen that, but for the most part, we don't see it. We just have the promise of God's word that, like Lazarus, when he died, he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham to be together with all the other believers, all the others who trusted in Christ, and to be in the presence of the Lord. Many people do not believe God's promises. If they can't see them with their own eyes, if they can't understand them with their own minds. I know yesterday we talked about that, Wolfie, about, you know, people can't see and understand how God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, how God could create all these things in just 6 days. But we take God at his word. And Jesus wants us to trust him and to take him at his word in all that he promises us. And so we Consider the nobleman who came to Jesus. Jesus returns back into Cana in Galilee. While he's there in Cana, where he had attended this wedding not too long before and turned water into wine, a nobleman in the city of Capernaum, which is down on the Jordan River or down along the Sea of Galilee on the northwestern corner of the Sea of Galilee, hears that Jesus is back in Galilee and his son is sick and dying, and he goes to get Jesus. And, you know, as we read in our text for today, he comes to Jesus and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He was asking that Jesus would take the walk, you know, down to Capernaum and heal his son. Jesus' response is actually kind of amazing. What did he say? He didn't say, okay, yeah, I'll come I'll heal your son. But he said, except you see signs and wonders, he will not believe. Now, it's important, and you don't see this in most translations, but the King James retains the plural you as ye. And so he's not just speaking to the nobleman, but he's speaking to everyone. Unless you all, if you were from Arkansas, unless you all see signs and wonders, you won't believe. In other words, they weren't ready to take God at his word. They had proof. They had to be able to see it with their eyes. And of course, the nobleman had heard of Jesus. He thought that Jesus could help him in his time of trouble, as long as Jesus came down to Capernaum, and he probably expected Jesus to, you know, either wave his hand over his son or put his hand on his son or do something like that to heal him. But when you think about it, did Jesus, who is the eternal Son of God, who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, who could say, let there be and there was, did he need to walk 20 miles or so down to Capernaum and be there and to be physically present in that place with his human body in order to heal his son? And Jesus really desired this man who had faith that Jesus could help, that this man could take Jesus at his word. And so Jesus says, go thy way, go your way, thy son liveth. And when you think about it, how much better it is than to wait for, you know, take a whole full day's journey, even if you're kind of hurrying, to have Jesus say the word and his son is healed that very moment. And a remarkable thing happened when Jesus said those words. Not only did the miracle happen and that his son was healed, but really another miracle happened. This man who thought that he needed Jesus to come down to his house and to be there to speak the word or to put his hand on his son and heal his son came to faith that Jesus could just say the word. And when he said the word, that his word was true. We see his faith in that he didn't stay there and keep begging Jesus, you got to come, you got to come. But he walked back to his house in Capernaum. And so faith, this word of Jesus created faith in this man's heart, faith to believe that indeed it was true. And he walked by faith all the way down to Capernaum. And there his eyes saw the truthfulness of what he had believed. In fact, he actually heard it a little bit sooner because his servants came to meet him and told him, you know, don't worry, your son's alive, your son's living. And as we read Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And it says, so the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed and his whole house. And so they learned to take Jesus at his word, and they believed that Jesus, as John said, was the Christ, the promised Messiah, and the Son of God. And through believing and trusting in Jesus, they would have life through his name. As we think about this, we remember that the Word of God tells us that Jesus is none other than God himself in human flesh, who came into this world to redeem us from sin and eternal death. The Word of God tells us that he died as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Word of God tells us that not only did he die for our sins, but he rose again on the third day, and he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, where he rules over and fills all things. He intercedes for us on our behalf. And the Word of God promises to each and every one of us God's pardon and forgiveness through faith in Christ and a place in God's everlasting kingdom. There are so many passages I could read, but I just think of some of the ones that we recently have read here, going through the Gospel of John, where Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jumping ahead to John chapter 5 at verse 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And as we go a little bit further forward, you know, on the night when Jesus held the Last Supper with his disciples and then later was betrayed, he told his disciples, you know, don't be troubled. In my house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to take you to be with me where I am. And he said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so you think about all these promises, all these truths, can we see them with our eyes? Does Jesus prove it before our eyes with all sorts of modern day signs and miracles and wonders? And again, the answer is no. But he gives them to us in his word. Think of Abraham. When Abraham was 75 years old, he came into the land of Canaan, and God had promised that he was going to have a son, and through this son, he was going to become a great nation. Through this son, the Messiah was going to come, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And God had already given him this promise before, when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he had traveled to Haran and stayed there until his father died, and then he comes down. And so here it is, 25 plus years, Abraham's 100 years old. He waited all this time until physically it's impossible because Sarah was already past childbearing years, and we might even think that Abraham was, although he had either God blessed him and enabled him to have more children because he, after Sarah died, he remarried and had more children. But all these promises he did not see, but he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. You and I have the promises of forgiveness of sins, a place in God's kingdom, God watching over us and caring for us, that he's going to lead us safely home to him in heaven. We can't see them with our eyes, but we stand under them and we see them through faith in the word of God, which he has given to us in the Holy Scriptures. St. Paul wrote in the book of Romans in the opening chapter, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth," or everyone that believeth, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so it is through the preaching of the gospel that God creates faith in our heart to believe and to receive this righteousness and forgiveness through faith in Christ. He also wrote in Romans 10, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so as the nobleman heard Jesus' words and believed, so we hear God's word through the preaching of his word, through reading our Bibles, and the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. So as we live our lives in this world, Jesus would have us walk by faith and not by sight. He would have us take him at his word and not have to see signs and wonders before we will believe. He would have us read the scriptures and see his promises and simply believe and trust that God's word will never fail, that in Jesus we have forgiveness and everlasting life. And we have the assurance that, like the nobleman who, when he got home, saw the fulfillment of Jesus' words with his eyes, when we get home to our heavenly home, when we're received into the glories of our eternal home through faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see indeed that all that God promised is true. Jesus' death on the cross did atone for our sins. That through faith in Jesus, God did justify us and pardon us and give us a place in his kingdom. That as Jesus rose from the dead, God's promise to us that he would raise us up is indeed true, because God raised us up. And Jesus' words to us, his words not to be afraid, not to be troubled, "In our Father's house are many mansions. He's going to prepare a place for us." These words are true, because we will see them with our eyes. I close with the words of Job. I didn't put it in my sermon notes, but I can't help but think of this. In Job chapter 19, we see Job's confidence. We see Job's faith. Because Job confessed, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Did he see him? No, but he had the promise of God. At that time, didn't even have the written scriptures, but he had the promise of God. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin, or according to my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me," his innermost parts be consumed. So Job had the confidence that though he could not yet see his Redeemer, he knew his Redeemer lived. He confessed faith in the resurrection of Jesus even before Jesus was born. And he confessed that he knew that on the latter day, Jesus would come back, and that with his own eyes, he would see the fulfillment of God's word. And that's what we have. We have the promise of God's word, and we, on the last day, we'll see with our own eyes that everything that God's word says to us is indeed true. That in Jesus there's forgiveness and life, and through faith in Jesus we have the eternal joys of heaven. God grant that we believe simply by taking God at his word. Amen. We pray. O God, graciously grant that we walk by faith in your word and not by sight, for only through faith in Christ will our eyes ever come to see the blessings that are offered and given to us in him. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. Can I ask you to please stand and join in prayer? Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations and doubts, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and congregation, and of faithful pastors, missionaries, and congregations everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you and your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and are under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers that they might see and hear the truth of your word, repent of their evil deeds, and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness, and then seeking to walk in your ways that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah,
O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember especially today John and Linda, Joyce, Carl, Harley, John and Karen, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, grant healing to the sick, comfort to the oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life,
in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Lord, in your mercy, we join in the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 714, Who Trusts in God. Oops, that's the wrong one. How about hymn 720, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight.
Kind of a beautiful hymn, but one we don't know because we haven't sung it much, if ever. I don't know if we ever did or not. Can I ask you to please stand? I read to you the words of institution from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Again, I ask you to come forward.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. And the Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. We conclude by singing hymn 729, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus.
Trusting thee, Lord Jesus, in only thee, in thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting thee for pardon, at thy feet I bow, for thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. I am trusting thee for cleansing in the crimson flood, trusting thee to make me holy by thy blood. I am trusting thee to guide me, thou alone shalt lead, every day and hour supplying all my need. I am trusting. trusting thee for power, thine can never fail. Words which thou thyself shalt give me must prevail. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all.
Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only announcement I have is that our congregational meeting is next Sunday, April 14th, following our worship service. Any other announcements this morning? Yes, Lee.
The eclipse is happening tomorrow.
The eclipse is happening tomorrow. Some people are predicting the end of the world together with the eclipse, but I think we can probably be pretty sure that since no one knows the day or the hour, probably won't be tomorrow during the eclipse, but it could be today. Jesus is coming back, and we take him at his word. He's coming back. He said we won't know the day or the hour, but we're always to be ready. Well, God's richest blessings to all of you and your Lord Jesus. Thank you. Have a good day.